Okay, today's topic we're going to discuss Birchas HaTorah, whether it's a Deraisa or a Derabanan. And it's based on the Gemara we saw on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that according to Rav Yehuda, he wanted to know, how do you know the source Minayin the Birchas HaMazon L'Acharei Min HaTorah? How do you know that benching is a concept of Deraisa? Because it says V'Achalta V'Tzvatu V'Rachta. And then the Gemara asks, Minayin, how do you know Birchas HaTorah beforehand is Min HaTorah? So he says, Shenemar Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu. So what does that mean? Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Elokeinu. When you say Shem Hashem, you call it out, you give Godol Elokeinu, you give some type of godless, some type of praise. So Rashi says, what does this mean? So Rashi says, Kishabam Moshe Levtach B'Divrei Shira. When Moshe began Divrei Shira, words of song, Amar Lahem Li Yisrael. He says to Klai Yisrael, Ani Averech Tchila, I will say the bracha first. V'atem Anu Acharai Amen. You'll answer Amen to my bracha. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I'll call out Hashem's name, Bibracha, when I say the bracha, Atem Havu Godel Okeinu. You, Klaiso, you should give Godel. You should say Amen. So that's what he says the Gemara is. He's referring to saying the bracha. When I say Shem Hashem, saying Shem Hashem is a reference to the Birchas HaTorah, and the Havu Godel Okeinu is when Klaiso answers Amen. So this is the source of Birchas HaTorah Lefi Rashi. The Gemara says it, but that's how Rashi understands it. The Marsha says something very, very interesting in understanding this drasha. He says that's not the way the drasha should be understood, that Ki Shem Hashem Ekra is when Hashem, when rather Moshe says a bracha and Klai Yisrael answers Amen.
And this is all Hazinu?
Right. So what Rashi, what Marsha explains is, where did Marsha go? Here we go. He says, Matzasi Kasuv, I found written, the understanding of the pasuk is as follows. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra is Dahainu Kishani Kore B'Torah. Not when I say Birchas HaTorah. When I'm actually learning. Kishani Kore B'Torah. When I'm learning. So why is learning called Ki Shem Hashem Ekra? I understand if a Birchas HaTorah is called Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. I'm calling out Hashem's name. I'm saying Baruch Atah Hashem. So that's Ki Shem Hashem Ekra. How come when I'm learning, how can I be referred to as Ki Shem Hashem Ekra when I'm learning? He says, Kishihi Kula Shem Al Shea Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shekola Torah Bosioso, all the Torah with all its letters, it's Shmosev Shekadosh Baruch Hu, like the Medrash says, like Ramban says in the beginning of the Torah, that the entire Torah, all the letters together, is one long name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when I'm learning, that's saying, that's Kishem Hashem Ekra, that's saying Hashem's name, that's saying the words, the names of Hashem. So Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I'm learning Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu, give Godel, give Godless, say a Birchas HaTorah beforehand. These are two different ways how to understand the drasha between Rashi and Marsha. I'm not sure if there's an afkamina at all, but the understanding is you walk away from this Gemara saying that Birchas HaTorah is a mitzvah deraisa to say prior to learning. Okay. So now, the Rambam, in the Rambam, if you look at the Sefer Mitzvos, if you look through, you're not going to find anywhere the Rambam counts the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah as one of the mitzvahs. And that's known by the Ramban. The Ramban, after, he makes all his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvos. See, then he says there's a list of mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot, that he thinks the Rambam forgot. And he has a whole list of mitzvahs asays, and then a whole list of mitzvahs los asays where the Rambam forgot. So the 15th mitzvah asay that the Ramban thinks that the Rambam forgot is this mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. Ramban writes, number one, Shenitztaveinu lahodos l'shmo yizbarach b'choles, shenikra b'torah. That you have to give hodah. That the Ramban is important for two reasons. Reason one is that he counts it as a mitzvah. Birchas HaTorah is one of the mitzvahs. Number two important of the Ramban is, what's the nature of Birchas HaTorah? This is not going to be our focus, but we'll get to it at the end with Rav Moshe. What's the nature of Birchas HaTorah? We have different types of brachas. We spent a lot of time in the beginning of the year when we were learning Birchas HaNenin. We have a Birchas HaMitzvah. We have a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. So what type of mitzvah, what type of bracha rather, is Birchas HaTorah? Is it viewed as a Birchas HaMitzvah? Before I shake lulav, I need to say a mitzvah. Before I put tzitzis on, I say a mitzvah. Before I put tefillin on, I say a bracha rather. Is that the nature of the bracha? Or is it more like when I see lightning, I say a bracha of Shevach V'Hodah? When I hear thunder, I say Shevach V'Hodah. I'm saying the greatness of the Hashem. So the Ramban says, Lahodos, it's giving hodah, it's thanking Hashem for the Torah. That's the nature of the bracha. What's the nafkamina? So let's say a woman, which is a bit of a tangent. Does a woman have to say Birchas HaTorah or not? What would you think? She would. Why would you say yes?
It's Hodah. There's no
reason not to. Exactly. If it's Hodah, according to the Ramban, she also has thanks to Hashem. She also has Shaychus to the Torah. She follows the Torah. it makes your life different. So of course, but if it's a birchas mitzvah, which many Mishnayim say, women are pater from learning. The Mishnah says they don't have to learn. So
but
therefore,
if they would learn, would they be required to? A patur may not still stop. If you do, you would still maybe be required to make a bracha.
So this is Talay and Big Machlokas, the Rambam and Tosos, Shulchan Aruch and Rama. So let's say a woman chayv to shake the lulav. Are they chayv to shake lulav on Sukkos?
No.
No, they're pater. Why are they pater? Mitzvah Aseh, she has ma'an grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are pater on time-bound mitzvahs. So let's say they want to shake the lulav. Are they allowed to? Yes. Do they say a bracha? So the Ashkenazim say yes, and the Sfarim say not. So the whole machlokas is when someone's pater in a mitzvah, but they want to do it anyways, which they're allowed to, in certain cases, in most cases they're allowed to, do a mitzvah, so then the Ashkenazim paskin, they're allowed to say bracha. Sfarim say that they're
allowed
not...
allowed to, or they have to?
They're allowed to. But the Sfarim say that they're not allowed to say bracha. They're not allowed to say bracha, according to that. So that's machlokas, same machlokas there. So if women decide to say bracha, rather if they decide to learn, so if you hold it's a birchas a mitzvah, and normally they're pater in a birchas a mitzvah of Torah, they decide to learn, it might be taloy in Sfarim versus Ashkenazim, whether they're allowed to or not. Now, okay. Now, not every mitzvah, by the way, we let them do if they're pater. There's a whole big discussion of smicha. And the Gemara in Chagiga says that women don't do smicha on an animal, a carbon. It says only men are allowed to. What if a woman wants to do smicha? So do we let them do smicha? So the Gemara has a fascinating idea. It says they really shouldn't, but because it makes them feel better, we let them do it anyways. Sometimes they're not supposed to. Sometimes they're also to do things, but we let them because it makes them feel better. So it gets into a whole discussion of other, let's say they want to wear tefillin. It makes them feel better. They're allowed to wear tefillin. So they're ready. We don't let them wear tefillin.
Yeah.
We're not going about the tefillin sugya, but for the most part, we don't let them wear tefillin.
That's disgusting.
Is it? Yeah.
But what about what they were just not learning, but they were just, let's say, they're in chinuch and they want to teach the Shema.
Right.
So they're going to be saying these psukim.
Right. We paskin anyways that women do say birchas haTorah anyways in the morning. I'm just going through the lamnas, but lamai, so we do say they should say birchas haTorah. But we see from the Ramban the two things again. Number one is that it's a birchas hodah, that's the nature of the bracha. Number two is he actually counts this as one of the mitzvos against the Rambam. And he brings our Gemara as a proof in this number one here, that we see in the Gemara brachos daf chaf alfam and alf, that minayim birchas haTorah lefanel, and he goes on. So we see it's clearly a mitzvah deraisa. And that's why he counts it.
According to Ramban, how do we see the Rambam?
So that's the question now. So what about the Rambam? What does the Rambam do? Rambam rejects this Gemara? What does he do with this Gemara? Why doesn't he count this as one of the mitzvahs? So if you look at number two, the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh writes, he says, number two, v'lo od el afilu l'das ha-Rambam. Even according to the Rambam, d'sfir leh d'chol ikir birchas haTorah eino ela midrabanan. So I don't want to go through the context here, but he says the Rambam thinks that birchas haTorah is only midrabanan. That's what he holds. How does he deal with the Gemara here, which implies it's deraisa? It doesn't imply. It says that it's deraisa. So I'm not sure if it's you or Rabbi Yonah, one of them suggested that this Gemara maybe is an esmachta ba'alma. Because the pasuk, what's the source of birchas haTorah? It's ki shem Hashem ekra, havu godol le'elokeinu. Now Rashi goes off to talk about answering amen. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu says the bracha, and Klai Yisrael says the amen. So that's really the source. That's really what the pasuk's used for. The Gemara later on says, how do you know you're supposed to say amens after brachas? Because it says, ki shem Hashem ekra, havu godol le'elokeinu. When you say a bracha of shem Hashem, you're supposed to say amen afterwards. That's the real limud from this pasuk, ki shem Hashem ekra. It's talking about any bracha, ki shem Hashem ekra, any bracha. It doesn't mean dafka learning Torah, dafka birchas haTorah. So therefore, this application to birchas haTorah might not really be a real application, and might only be an asmachta ba'alma. And since it's only an asmachta ba'alma, the Rambam understands the Gemara perhaps to be not taken literally, and birchas haTorah is only a mitzvah midrabanan. That's the Shagas Aryeh's understanding. It's hard to read that up, but that's his suggestion. That's only midrabanan. Now, with the Mabit writes, the Mabit wrote a sefer called Kiras Sefer. Interesting story about the Mabit. Mabit lived at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Those three were contemporaries. And the way they presented is that the three of them were having a race. Who is going to create the Shulchan Aruch of the time? After every, you know, several hundred years, they have to, you know, codify everything and the next chapter. So Mishnayos were learned for a long time, and then they had to create the Mishnayos to put a hold to it and begin the next era of learning. And then they learned for a while, and they created the Gemara to solidify that generation. And then that's how it went for many years. And it was a long time from the Gemara, which was around the 500s, until the Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1400s. So that's a lot of years that has to be really put together in a sefer. So they decide we're going to have a race. Not really, but that's how it's presented. Who is going to create the ultimate Shulchan Aruch? So the Mabit wrote his Shulchan Aruch, it was pretty much on the Rambam, as opposed to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah expanded it to other Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch wrote his Sefer on many Rishonim. It really started off with the Beis Yosef. So the Shulchan Aruch was focusing on the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush. And the Ramah was also putting together a Sefer. So Shulchan Aruch ended up winning the race. And the Ramah didn't finish in time. The Shulchan Aruch ended up becoming the accepted authority. And the Ramah, since he was too late, he just added on some extra comments. Well, we do differently. The Ashkenazim do this way. That's why the Ramah adds his comments afterwards. But he wanted to initially write a whole sefer like the Shulchan Aruch. And the reason why they say the Mabit didn't win this race is because he only wrote on the Rambam. It was very focused on the Rambam. It didn't take into account other Rishonim. Nonetheless, the Mabit is a very important sefer in understanding the Rambam because that was his focus. But he oftentimes does have very unique opinions on different sugyas. So what the Mabit writes is that, according to the Rambam, the reason why the Rambam doesn't list it as a mitzvah, it's not because it's not deraisa. Of course, Birchas Torah is deraisa. I mean, whenever something's not counted as a mitzvah, you always have to ask, there are also some rules of how to count mitzvahs. The Rambam lists a number of rules how you count mitzvahs. So he might hold it to deraisa, but you know why you don't count it? It's because the Rambam counts another mitzvah, it's called Talmud Torah. And when he counts Talmud Torah, there are details. You don't say, you know, learning Chumash is one mitzvah, and learning Navi is another mitzvah, and learning Mishnah is another mitzvah. Those are details of one broad mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So part of that mitzvah is saying Birchas HaTorah. So that's why it's not counted as a separate mitzvah. But of course the Rambam holds it's
easy.
A deraisa.
That's easy.
Right,
that's
the Gemara says.
Talked about Birchas
HaTorah
in...
Sure, yeah. Look at Hilchos Talmud Torah. He talks about, you say this bracha and this bracha, and what do you have to say bracha on? Yeah, of course. You can't ignore those Gemaras. He just doesn't count it as a mitzvah, as a technicality. Because you can't count every detail as a new mitzvah. So that's for that reason.
That's interesting.
So now then you have to debate. So now really according to this, both the Rambam and Ramban hold that Birchas HaTorah is a deraisa. Now the question is, why would you count it as a separate mitzvah or not a separate mitzvah? Ramban counts it separately, and Rambam includes it under the Hilchos Talmud Torah. What do you think the reason might be? Something I was saying before about the...
Whether it's a mitzvah of God, whether it's a mitzvah of...
Birchas HaMitzvah. Exactly. The Rambam holds that Birchas HaTorah is really a Birchas HaMitzvah, which means it's part of the mitzvah. It's part, it's connected. I say, Al Nitiyas Lulav and I Shake the Lulav. It's part of that mitzvah. If you assume it's a Birchas Hodah, it stands alone. Even if the women are potter and learning, but they still have to say Birchas HaTorah. So we see that the Birchas Hodah, thanking Hashem for the Torah, this concept of the Torah, is separate from having to learn the mitzvah, having to learn the Torah. So that's why Birchas Hodah, if you assume it's a Birchas Hodah like the Ramban does, that means that Birchas HaTorah stands alone as a separate mitzvah, and then there's another mitzvah of having to learn the Torah. But again, the Rambam holds that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaMitzvah. It leads into the learning. So that's why it's subsumed under the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. One of the details of learning Torah is saying a bracha, according to the Rambam. Okay. Now the Be'er Sheva is an Achron, and he writes on, he's a small black sefer, and he writes usually in obscure Masechtas. What do I mean obscure Masechtas? Masechtas are learned less. He writes in Horios and Sota. So on his comments on Sota...
Who's this again?
The Be'er Sheva. So he writes as follows. He's going through a sugya. I don't want to get involved in the sugya. Rashi tells us about learning Kriyas HaTorah in general, but he writes as follows. Even though there's no chiv to have Kriyas HaTorah, right? Kriyas HaTorah, having the Sefer Torah read, it's only a mitzvah midirbanan. It's not a mitzvah deraisa. It's not a chiv, I should say. It's not a chiv deraisa to have leining. Except for Parshas Zachar, and according to some Rishonim, Parshas Para. But leining in general is not a chiv to do. So he says, still nonetheless, if a person wants to do Kriyas HaTorah, and one should, of course, Then the Torah says you have to say a bracha beforehand. What he says is as follows. You know, it's really a distinction when Birchas Torah is a deraisa, when it's a derabanan. If you're learning on your own, then you wouldn't have to say Birchas Torah. It wouldn't be a deraisa. But if you're learning on, if you're doing a Kriyas Torah but Sibur, then that would be a Birchas Torah deraisa. So when the Rambam doesn't count the Birchas Torah as a mitzvah, it's because you and I are not chayiv to say it. The only time there's a chiv deraisa Birchas Torah is when it's done with Sibur. And that's not an obligation. You don't have to do that. So he's distinguishing, again, it's hard to really appreciate this unless you learn the piece inside, but he's distinguishing that Birchas Torah is only deraisa on Kriyas Torah but Sibur, not Kriyas Torah but Yachid, yeah. Yeah, you have a concept like that as well. Just like a shechita. I don't have to do shechita. I don't have to eat animals. But if I want to eat an animal, then I would get a kiyum, though. So it's a kiyum deraisa, but it's not a chiyuv laying on it in the tzibur.
So then what's the difference between parsha zachar and regular laying?
So according to him, it seems like that would be a chiyuv, parsha zachar and parsha para. Regular laying would just be a kiyum. But either way, we come from all this. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether or not Birchas Torah is a deraisa or a derabanan. What's the nafkamina? Who cares? We are going to do it anyways, whether it's derabanan or deraisa. So there has to be some significance of its level of being deraisa versus derabanan. For what? Kriyas Torah? Right, that's exactly. If it's Kriyas Torah, that's a general question about Kriyas Torah. I'm talking in general, let's say Birchas Torah, when I have to say it as an individual even. So according to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah deraisa for me to say this. But according to one understanding of the Rambam, and according to the Be'er Sheva, there is no mitzvah on me deraisa, it's only on the tzibur. The question becomes, me as an individual, whether I have a deraisa chiv or a derabanan chiv, what's the big deal? Who cares? What's an afkamina?
Afkamina might be that if he is a misopik, whether it's said or not.
Very good. So that's what we're going to do, exactly. So that's the afkamina. The afkamina is. The Be'er Eitav writes, the person doesn't know, he's not sure, doesn't remember if he said the bracha or not. In Mistapik, he says, in Berachim Lav, then he should say all the brachas. Only one of the brachas are deraisa, not all of them. Right, the Gemara, we didn't see this inside. The Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis asks, my mevarach, what bracha do you say in Birchas Torah? So one opinion says, Lasak B'divrei Sarah. One says, Baharev Noah. One says, Asher Bracha Banu. So Rav Papa says, we say all three exactly. Hilchach Nimru Kul, say all three of them. So there's a machlokas rishonim when we say all three of them. Why? Is it because we don't know? Only one of them is really chayv, so we just say all of them. Why not? The reason. Sorry.
Cover our bases.
That's one opinion, but it's really we're not sure which is the right one. And another opinion says no. We have to actually lichadchila say all three. They're all trying to cover three aspects of Torah. Just to throw out one aspect, I don't want to get too involved. But one sheet is Rabbeinu Yonah says. You need three brachas, one for Torah, one for Nevi'im, and one for Ksuvim. So they're all necessary, lichatchila. So according to the Be'er Eitav, he's assuming that really only one is chayiv midaraisa. So even though you're not sure, so you should still say all three of them. So what's the concept? Safek deraisa luchumra, safek derabanan lekula. So since Birchas Torah is a deraisa, if you hold it's deraisa like the Ramban holds, and then you have to say a bracha. You should really only say one bracha, but since we don't know which one is the right bracha, you say all three brachas. But if you assume that Birchas Torah is only midirabanan, and then you're not sure if you said it already, so then you're off the hook. Then you wouldn't say it. That's the Be'er Eitav's understanding. So now the Shaar Tshuva comes along and says, no. If you're not sure, how could you say all three brachas? Aren't we contending with another issue of bracha l'vatala? If I already was Yotzei d'chiyuv, so how can I go ahead and say another bracha that's bracha l'vatala? And according to the Rambam, that's an Issa deraisa of Lo Sisa, Shem Hashem Lokecha Bashav. I can't say Shem Hashem in vain. I can't just start saying brachas whenever I want. So the Tosos thinks that bracha l'vatala in general is only a Issa midirabanan. But still, we wouldn't ever l'chachila tell someone to say bracha if he wasn't sure. So I understand if, let's say, a person wasn't sure if he benched or not. So benching's deraisa, so safek deraisa, we say l'chumra. Okay? But if you assume that if only one of the brachas of Birchas Torah are deraisa and the other two are only midirabanan, how can we suggest to say all three of them? That means you're the risk of saying a few brachal vatalas, which might be deraisa according to some Rishonim. So therefore, the Shari Tshuva says, no, it's best to say only one bracha. And which is the best bracha to say? He says, Asher Bracha Banu. Asher Bracha Banu is actually the best bracha. Why? He doesn't say why that is, but it sounds like probably because that's a bracha we say when you say Kriyas HaTorah, when you get an Aliyah, that probably indicates it's the best of the brachas. So he says, when you are not sure which if you said a bracha or not, you should only say Asher Bracha Banu.
What does that mean, Shaymi? When the Gemara says Yimu'ul of the bracha, so what does that mean?
Right. So, again, I thought it just means that, again, I'm not sure why, it's, I don't know why it's better, but it is better. And the raya that is better is the fact that we only say that bracha for the Kriyas HaTorah, but I don't know why it's better, I don't remember why it's better. Okay. Now, the other Rishonim say no. It's better actually not to say the bracha. It's better to shave the altasa, better to sit back and do nothing at all, and not to say a bracha, because then you're contending with the issues of violating the Isser of bracha levatala. Okay, so now, are there any other eitzes how to deal with this? So machlokas was it, we don't know if it's the right of derabanan, we don't know how to paskin. So a person, let's say, wakes up and not sure if he said a bracha or not, what's he supposed to do? So Mishnah Berurah suggests there are other ways around this. He says that it's not enough to simply say, just don't say the bracha at all. That might be the safest route. Don't say the bracha, because some Rishonim say it's derabanan. And even those who say it's deraisa, they think it's better not to say it anyways because you might violate a bracha levatala. But still, the Mishnah Berurah says, how could you be so easy going with this bracha? Many Rishonim hold that Birchas Torah is a deraisa in the first place. Number two is, we know how great an onish is for not saying a Birchas Torah. We just finished Tisha B'Av, and the Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyah, why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Because they didn't learn. What do you mean they didn't learn? Says Rashi, they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. So because they didn't say Birchas HaTorah, that's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So how can we take this bracha so lightly? We can't just say, okay, it's a safek, and some say it's derbanan, and don't say it. We have to think of another eitzah. There must be another way around this to fulfill that obligation of Birchas HaTorah, because this is a very, very serious bracha. So he says, he invokes that famous concept of the bracha of Ava Rabba. When you say Ava Rabba in the morning, right, the bracha right before Shema, you could use that bracha of Ava Rabba as a Birchas HaTorah. Right, so if a person has in mind, let's say that he wants to use Ava Rabba to be used as his Birchas HaTorah, because what Nusach do we say? Lilmod, Lamed, Lasos. It's a Birchas HaTorah. We're thanking Hashem for learning. So if a person has in mind, he says he's not really sure if he said the bracha of Birchas HaTorah in the morning, he should have in mind during Ava Rabba that this is going to be my Birchas HaTorah. Then immediately after davening, he should learn. And that will work according to the Mishnah Berurah and many, many poskim. Now the question becomes, the other option is, he could ask someone else to say the bracha for him. That's always an eitzah. Whenever a person doesn't know if he needs to say a bracha or not, let's say a person talis. A person, let's say he was up all night. So he was wearing tzitzis. Not sure if he has to actually say bracha on the talis in the morning. So he asks someone else to say bracha for him, like we do Shavuos morning, things like that. So that's another eitzah. So one eitzah is, again, using Ava Rabba, if you're in istapik, if you said the bracha. Number two eitzah is ask someone else to say bracha and have you in mind to be motzi you. A third suggestion is brought down by Rav Yashiv, that if you hear the bracha from a person who gets an aliyah, so he says, Asher bracha banu, if you have in mind to be yote with his bracha, you would be yote that way. Now, even though the mevarach doesn't have you in mind, right? Again, let's say you came late to shul. Everyone said the Birchas HaTorah in the morning already. Okay, so now what do you do? If it's a Monday or Thursday, or if it's a Shabbos, or a laning day, you just listen to the guy get the aliyah when he says, Asher bracha banu, and you have in mind, say amen, and you're yote the bracha. Which is fascinating, because that's interesting. You're asking the question during Seder, how could that be? We have a concept as follows. Let's say I'm blowing the shofar. I'm the Baal Tokei in the shul. So I have to have in mind that everyone else is going to get the mitzvah. I need to be motziyu. And if I don't have you in mind to be motziyu, you're not going to be yotze. So if I'm getting an aliyah, and Rav Yashiv says, I don't have to have in mind to give you to be motziyu, how are you yotze by listening to me? How does that work? What?
It's a concept of hearing it as the same as saying it.
Ah, so that could be a very... As long as it's das on both parts?
Isn't it?
So I'm one. That's a great answer. I didn't think of that. What you're suggesting is as follows. that when it comes to blowing the shofar, let's say, so you need a shmir, you need a tekiah. The tekiah has to have in mind, has to be a kavana for a mitzvah. Now, when it comes here to the listening, when I listen it to it, it's as if I'm actually articulating it. When I hear the shofar, we don't have that same concept. I'm listening it like I'm blowing it. It only works if he's having a mind to blow it. I'm just being yotzei by listening. But Shomei Ka'ona takes it a step further. When I hear him, whatever he has in mind, if I'm hearing words, it's kilo I'm saying those words. So as long as I have kavana to be yotzei, then I'd be yotzei regardless of his thoughts.
So Kiddush is the same thing, right?
What?
It's Shabbos Kiddush, so Shabbos morning Kiddush, Shabbos night Kiddush, and
Kiddush. No, any situation where it's all about words, that words are being said and heard, this suggestion, I didn't see, but this could be a suggestion, is Shomei Ka'ona would work. Even though the one who's saying the words, the motzi, doesn't have you in mind, we don't care because it's as if I'm saying the words on my own. I'm an independent person now. And Shomei Ka'ona, and as long as I'm having mind to be yotzei, my saying, if you will, it works. As opposed to blowing the shofar or other types of cases where it only works when he's being motzi me, he has that intention. Perhaps it's a very, very interesting suggestion. Okay. Now another suggestion is made by the Aruch HaShulchan, similar to Rav Yashiv. He says, no, what you should do is go up to the Gabbai. That's if it's a laning day. Say, listen, I didn't say bracha. I don't know if I said the bracha this morning. Do you mind giving me an aliyah? So if you're able to get the aliyah, so you could say the bracha yourself, that would be better, perhaps, than having to hear from someone else. So it seems like the number one option would be get an aliyah. Let's say there's no aliyah available for you. Number two option would be ask the guy who's getting aliyah to have you in mind to say a bracha. And if that's not possible, you can't get to the guy, just listen to him and say amen to his bracha, and that way you would be yotzei as well.
So if you have a rabba option?
Yeah.
So it could be like a massive hefse, it could be like 35, 40 minutes sometimes in some ways before you actually start learning.
Correct. Yes.
Is that a concern?
That's not a concern. They talk about this. There's a big tosis on Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, which talks about this. It's based on the Gemara and Yerushalmi about this concept. It's all continuous. As long as there's no hefsek of something that's not related, that would be a problem. But as long as Avarabba, Tashma, and all of davening, and then immediately after davening you learn, that's considered continuous. I actually just saw yesterday, talking about a hefsek, so Rosh Hashanah is coming up soon, so I started learning some of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. So we know we have the custom to do simanim. The first night, the apple and the honey and whatever else you might eat. So it's brought down that some had the minhag to say Kiddush, and before washing, they do simanim before washing. Because there's a whole discussion whether, let's say I wash first, and then I do the simanim. Do you say a bracha on ha'etz, on the apple? Normally you say brachas during a meal if it's a fruit. Fruit's not part of the meal, you say a separate bracha. That's a little bit clearer. But let's say you're having leek, or any of the other ones that are dhamma. Now these foods are part of the meal in general, but in this case they're not being part of the meal, they're as simanim. So if you have a leek, would you say an adama on that? So that's not, it's a tzafek, what to do. So some suggest you should have the simanim before you wash, so there's no shiloh. So you say Kiddush, say a gafen on Kiddush. You sit down, you say ha'etz on, well really should say ha'etz on the pomegranate, actually really on the date comes first in the order of Shivas Aminim. Say I hate on the dates, and then you eat the pomegranates, and then you have the apples, and then you say adama on the leek, or whatever else you might be, or the beets, whatever else you might be eating. And then after that, you wash. So the Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, that's not considered a hefsek. Don't you need Kiddush b'makom suda? So you have to say the Kiddush, you have to go right into washing. So in general, there is a problem of a hefsek, but since this is a tzarech l'suda, it's a continuation, even though it's not actually washing yet, that's not considered a hefsek. But it ends up being Rav Shlomo Zalman says not to do that. He doesn't like that Eitzah, because after you've had the leeks and you've had the fish head and you've had the apples and you had the dates and you had the pomegranates, do you say a bracha achrona now? Or does it lead right into the meal? It's a big machlokis poskim. Since there's a big safek what to do in that case, he suggested not to do it before the washing, wash, and then go into the simanim.
So if you make bracha satorah and you don't learn all day, it's a bracha levatal?
No, because we have the concept of Birchas HaTorah. We paskin that's really a Birchas Hodah. It's both of them. We'll see in a second in Rav Moshe. It's a Birchas Hodah. Birchas Hodah means it exists even though you don't necessarily learn. It's the Birchas Chal there.
Right?
So they say when Birchas HaTorah works as a Hodah, but But Birchas Ava Rabba only works if it's Miyad. So he's going on a side. Let me explain what he's going on here. I was asking a great question here. Birchas HaTorah works in the morning, whether or not I learn right away or not. Right?
But you learn with davening because we include...
Yeah. So that's not part of learning, though.
It's not considered if learning, you even though it's...
In the morning, Yivarecha Hashem Yishvarecha, those psukim are. And Elu Dvarim that we say is, that's why we do that right away. But that's what we do in the Nusach of the Tefillah. That's not obligated to do. Let's say a person didn't do that. You still get the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah. You'd still be Yotze. But Ava Rabba only works La'alter, only if you say it right away. So why? Some explain is the reason why you need to learn right away is because it actually is a Birchas HaMitzvah. And also he would say in the morning also, Birchas HaTorah in general, is also Birchas HaMitzvah and only works if you learn right away. That same concept by Ava Rabba would apply to Birchas HaTorah. Now we don't pasken that way. Why? So he says as follows. The reason why you have to learn right away, if you assume, let's say, the bracha of Birchas HaTorah is really a Birchas Hodah, in which case you don't have to learn right away. If I say the bracha in the morning, I'm Yotze. So why by Ava Rabba do I have to learn afterwards right away? What's the need for that? It's a Birchas Hodah. I don't need to learn right away. So explain the Achronim explain as follows. The reason why I have to learn right away is to indicate, to show that I'm using this as a Birchas HaTorah. If I just say Ava Rabba alone, it's a bracha on Shema. What makes it clear, other than my intention, what makes it so clear that it's being used as a Birchas HaTorah? Only if I learn afterwards, is it Megala that I'm using it to be Birchas HaTorah. Not that I have to learn. It's not Birchas HaMitzvah that I have to say over Liyas Yas and I have to say bracha before I do the mitzvah. It's just to indicate, to make it clear, that I'm using this today at least, I'm using bracha of Ava Rabba to function as a Birchas HaTorah. How do I know? The fact that I learned afterwards makes that clear.
But why do you need that Hakara?
Why do you so? But shouldn't my Machshava be alone? Be enough?
Why does all of a sudden recognition required for a Birchas Hodah?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. You have to look back at the Tosin Yud Alpha Mabez and then the Tziv there talked about. I don't remember exactly offhand, but it's a good question. But that's how they explain it. If you assume it's a Birchas Hodah, why have to learn right away? To make it clear. Why is Machshava enough? I don't know. In general, by Birchas HaTorah.
By Birchas HaTorah. In other words, if you forget and you want to be Yotze with Ava Rabba, then you have to learn Miyad, but you can't talk
it. For Ava Rabba, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you need it Miyad. Mamash right away.
Right.
Mamash right away for it to work.
If you forget about God, you still need, like, if it's not thunder, you still need thunder.
True. But we have the Torah, the concept of the Torah exists. It's relevant to us every single day. Even though there's not learning, but the everything we do is coming from the Torah. So that the very existence of the Torah, the existence of the world, is from the Torah.
So what? Okay, so those who hold that it's a bracha on a mitzvah, so let's say you're going to learn geometry,
mm-hmm.
which the Gra, you know, it all comes from the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be called?
The way the Gemara goes through what qualifies. The Gemara actually has a few deyas that Gemara wouldn't require Birchas HaTorah. First it says only Mikra. Then it says even Medrash. Then it says even Mishnah. Then it says even Talmud. All these different machlokism. So no, they wouldn't go beyond Talmud. Beyond Gemara, they wouldn't go. I imagine Rishonim also would qualify as well. That's also an explanation of the Gemara. Everything's an explanation of each other. Now, on that point of which types of learning requires a bracha, connects also to the nature of the bracha. Meaning what? Let's say you say Birchas HaTorah is a bracha on the Cheftz Shel Torah. It's a Birchas Hodah. That would explain why you might only say bracha on the mikra, on Torah. That's the Cheftz Shel Torah. Yeah, of course, Medrash and Gemara, Mishnah is also learning, but that's not the Cheftz Shel Torah. So that would be the explanation, I forget who says this, why you'd only say it on the Pasuk itself, on Pesukim. But if you assume that Birchas Torah is on Birchas HaMitzvah, so anytime you get a Kim of Talmud Torah, which is of course not only mikra, but learning Mishnah and Gemara is also Kim a mitzvah, so then you would say Birchas HaTorah on that as well. That's part of the discussion of what's going on, which types of Gemara. But certainly beyond that, once it gets to anything secular, even though it might be from the Torah, science and math and everything, it doesn't qualify as Limud HaTorah. Okay, let's go to the Rav Moshe now. So Rav Moshe is back and forth. We don't have the full picture. Rav Moshe never included the shaylas that was asked to him. He just has the responses. I don't know why they don't have the original letters. So you have to understand from his answering what he's responding to. So apparently there's a whole dialogue with someone about the nature of Birchas HaTorah. And this individual felt that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas Hodah. It was only a bracha of thanks to Hashem. And his proof was from the Gemara we quoted before, when the Pasuk says, Bima Avd Haaretz, why did we lose the land? Why did we send to Galus? And he explained Rashi because they didn't think that the Torah is chashuv in their eyes. They didn't view this as a matana chashuva. And that's why they didn't say Birchas HaTorah. So what do you mean? What's a matana chashuva, a gift? So he explained because he understands that Rashi means that the Birchas HaTorah is on receiving a matana chashuva. You should acknowledge and thank Hashem for this beautiful present He gave us. So he learns from Rashi that Birchas HaTorah must be a Birchas Hodah. So Rav Moshe writes, I agree to you that it's a great riot from Rashi that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas Hodah, and they didn't acknowledge the Matana Chashuva they got, and that's why we were destroyed, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. But it doesn't mean it can't also be a Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaMitzvah. It could be both. They're not mutually exclusive. So he says as follows. That's why, he said, really they're both. There's the bracha of Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. But how many brachas are there in Birchas HaTorah? Are there three or are there two? That's a machlokas. Because the question is, do you say the Harivna or do you say Harivna? Is there a Vav, the Harivna, or a no Vav there? So we paskin the Harivna, which means it's attached to the first bracha. There are really two brachas here. And that's why if you're being Yotzei someone's Birchas HaTorah Shavuos morning, you don't say Amen after Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. You don't say Amen there. You let them go the Harivna, then after all that, you say the first Amen. That's the first one. Lasuk B'Divrei Torah, the Harivna Hashem, and so on and so forth. That's Bracha 1. And Asher Bracha Banu is Bracha 2. There are two brachas here, according to many Rishonim. Some say the three, but we paskin there are two brachas. Says Rav Moshe, why there are two brachas? Because there are two aspects to the bracha. There's one that's a Birchas HaMitzvah, Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. I'm about to engage in learning. That's a Birchas HaMitzvah. And Asher Bracha Banu, that Hashem chose us for the Torah, that's a Birchas Hodah. So the two brachas are corresponding to two types of brachas. Lasuk B'Divrei Torah again is Birchas HaTorah, and Asher Bracha Banu is the Bracha of Hodah. Now that's why he says, even though I said a bracha in the morning, when I get an Aliyah, I say Asher Bracha Banu a second time. I said the bracha in the morning, why am I saying it a second time? So the reason why is because I've already been yod to the Birchas of Mitzvah in the morning. And I was even yod to the bracha of Birchas Hodah in the morning on an individual level. But I've got another opportunity here to say Birchas Hodah on a global stand in front of the entire tzibur. That's why I say Asher Baruch Banu, because there's another Birchas Hodah in the tzibur, being mefarsim the Hodah of Hashem's Torah. Yeah. Sorry?
That's a proof of Chabad. You can light the Hanukkah candles in the park.
Right, well, that's an aspect of Pirsim Neis. There's another element. That's part of it. It's very, you're right. Very similar model we have by Hanukkah about being Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas Hodah.
So if you know that you're going to do that later, do you not do the first one earlier?
Right. No, you still do it because there's still. It's a good question. We would paskin yes. According to the alumnus of Rav Moshe, I understand where you're coming from. I'm sure he would say no, you'd still say the bracha because there's two types of Hodahs. There may be a personal Hodah and there's a Sibur type of Hodah. But I hear where you're coming from. Now, in light of this, he paskins, now I understand where the Shagas Arya is coming from. The Shagas Arya says that a person isn't sure if he said a bracha or not, he should only say Asher Bracha Banu. Not Lasuk B'Divrei Torah. Why not? I need to say two brachas every single day. I'm not sure if I did them. And if Birchas HaTorah is a deraisa, shouldn't I say both of them? He says no. Because we never find anywhere that a Birchas HaMitzvah is a bracha deraisa. There's no Birchas HaMitzvah that's deraisa. We find the Birchas Hodah that's deraisa. Which one?
Benching.
So he says as follows. Just like benching is Hodah, is a deraisa, so too on Birchas HaTorah, the Hodah aspect is the only part that's deraisa. The Birchas HaMitzvah aspect is Dirabanan. That's how he splits it up. So since Lasuk B'Divrei Torah is a Birchas HaMitzvah, that's only Dirabanan, you wouldn't say that bracha again if you're mistapik. But the aspect, the bracha of Asher Bracha Banu, which is a Birchas Hodah, that it does have basis in the Torah, based in benching, based in our Sugya. So when the Sugya in Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph says that Birchas HaTorah is deraisa, it's talking specifically about Asher Bracha Banu. The Birchas Hodah, that's the bracha that's deraisa. And that's a Shagas Aryeh, according to Rav Moshe, that's the only bracha you'd have to say over. If you're not sure which, if you said the bracha, you only repeat Asher Baruch Rabbanu, because that's the only one that's deraisa, because it's a birchas hoda. Because it's a hefsek. Meaning, if I were to say, you know, sitting in the sukkah also, it's a mitzvah each time I mekayim it, but the bracha is the only derabanan, but chum say you're supposed to say brachas. Now, the rules of brachas are, whenever you make a hefsek in between, you have to say a new bracha. That's just the rules of brachas. If I walk out of the sukkah, and I come back, I need to say a new leishib of sukkah. Take off my tefillin and I go to the bathroom, I need to say a new bracha. Those are the halachas of a hefsek between brachas. But this is not a question of hefsek here at all. This is a question, Talmud Torah, there's no hefsek by Talmud Torah. You know, you asked the question, since you brought up, we have 2 minutes left, I'll just go off on a little bit of a tangent in light of this question. So, why is there no hefsek for Birchas HaTorah? If Birchas HaTorah is really a mitzvah, Birchas HaMitzvah, so if I learn in the morning, I go to work, and I come back home and learn at night, so shouldn't I say a new Birchas HaTorah? It's a new mitzvah, there's been a tremendous hefsek. So, and Tosa says, no different than Leishei Basukkah. I'm sitting in the sukkah, and I leave to go out to work, I go out to do a Chol Moed trip, and I come back and eat, I have to say a new bracha. So why don't I have to say a new bracha when I learn later on in that evening? So what the Tosa's answers is that since you and I have an obligation to learn all day, v'gisa b'yomim v'layla, we have a chiv to learn. Now we're not all capable of learning all day long for various reasons, but that chiv is resting upon me. I'm nervous. I should be learning. So that maintains the bracha, keeps it going, there's no hefsek. I'm always having in mind, I want to learn, I should be learning, I need to work. It's the klala of Adam Arishon, I need to just make money, I need to make parnasa, but I really should be learning. That constant chi that's hanging over us allows the bracha to continue. That's what Tosas writes. I'm going to give you another answer, which makes us feel a bit better about working though. The Taz says as follows. Taz says no. Taz says, you know why you don't have to say a new bracha at nighttime? Because whenever you're working during the entire day, that's actually a kiyum of Talmud Torah. When you're sitting at your work and you're keeping your list of time, you're billing properly with be'emuna, masim mat be'emuna, you're a trustworthy guy. Or when you're washing before you eat, you're doing the brachas of nitzias adayim, and you say bracha when you eat, and you go to the bathroom, you say asher yatzar. Everything you're doing along the day is a halacha, you're keeping halachos. Whenever you keep halachas, that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is not simply lumod, it's lumod lasos. You're learning in order to fulfill. So whenever we're wearing tefillin, or we're putting on tzitzis, that's actually a kiyum of Torah itself. Whenever you're working, you're following the halacha, it's a kiyum in Talmud Torah. So since the idea is, there is no hefsek, it's not because we feel this pressure, this weight upon us we have to learn, we actually are learning by fulfilling the Torah. That's what the Taz says. In light of that, he says there's no need to say a new bracha later on when you get home and learn. Learning's learning. It's Talmud Torah, but also following the halacha is also considered Talmud Torah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you have to say a bracha every day, is it nighttime a new day in the calendar so that you really should say a bracha?
It's very good. You're right. So in certain halachas, night is a new day, but in terms of a hefsek, it's not. Because I'm aware, it doesn't affect me at all. If I'm eating a meal, you know, during the daytime and it goes through the nighttime, it's not considered a hefsek, even though the day has changed. So this is not affected by daytime at all. If you're up all night, let's say, you don't have to say new Birchas HaTorah. So it's not about the change of day, it's about my mindset. Yes, Aaron?
I think by Ahava Rabba, if a person doesn't say Birchas HaTorah, that the Shema Yisrael is Daraisa. I mean, it's Torah, so it's Chal right away. There's really not a hefsek.
No, of course.
There's a separate key of to say Kriya Shema.
I understand. Right.
A separate key of Talmud Torah.
Right. So we don't assume that way when it comes to Ava Rabba, though. It doesn't work that way. It's when you're saying Shema, that you're being Makai in the midst of Shema. But it's part of a larger discussion, of course.
There's no clarification down. It says the Yeshua's Tafe. You have to consult.